This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. We look to you for truth, O Lord. Come alive within us this day, that we might know you and carry your word to all the world. Amen. Please be seated. So I have a riddle for you. I think we need a riddle after all that. And if you've heard it, please don't say the answer. Okay, so you've got to be honest. If you've not heard this riddle and you think you've figured it out, raise your hand and I'll come to you so you can tell us what the answer is, okay? There's this teenage boy and his father, and they're driving down the road, and they get into a horrible car crash, and it's obvious that the boy is really, really hurt. They rush to the hospital. They get into the emergency room. The doctor comes in and takes one look at the boy and says he needs surgery. I can't do it. I'm his father. I mean, he's my son. I messed it up. Sorry. This doctor says, I can't do the surgery. He's my son. How could that be? The kid is in the car with his dad and got in the wreck. They go to the emergency room. Doctor comes out and says, I can't do the surgery. He's my son. How could that be? Have you heard this? Okay. Exactly. How many of you, could you hear her answer? Okay, who thinks they know the answer? I'm not going to tell you yet. How about you think you know?
No, but I already heard it.
Oh, you heard it. Anybody? You don't know the answer? She got it. It was the mom. The mother was the doctor. How many of you honestly did not realize that? Raise your hand, honestly. I sure didn't. The first time that I heard it, I didn't, and this is, what, 2012? Maybe some of you are doctors. It's amazing that that didn't even cross our mind. Our perspectives change when we have more and more information, right? Just like in the gospel today. This is a tough gospel. It's really tough. And so when we take a look at it and break it down into pieces, it's a little bit easier to understand from the perspective of people in the Middle East, for instance. I mean, Jesus is saying things like, thrown into the lake of fire, an unquenchable fire. And if you do something with your hand that you know is wrong, cut it off. And with your feet, cut them off. With your eyes, gouge them out. I mean, really, Jesus would say that? So we have to take a look at it through Middle Eastern eyes. This gospel is in three sections, and we're going to start at the very end to understand it, but I'll just tell you the overview of the three sections. The first section is that the disciples hear that somebody is trying to heal in the name of Jesus that isn't in their club, isn't part of them, and so they run to Jesus to tell on this person. Look what he's doing, and Jesus says, so? You know, mind your own business. What are you doing, right? And if he's not against us, he's for us. It didn't bother Jesus at all. And then Jesus goes on to give all these threats. And we'll come back to that in a moment. But to start with, the very ending line, Jesus says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Kind of a funny thing to say, right? To have salt in yourself. Well, in the Middle East, in Jesus' day, and in ancient times especially, salt was a precious commodity. They even used it to trade with sometimes, or to pay taxes with sometimes. Even today, we say things like, if somebody is worth their salt, right? It means that they are upstanding and solid, they're loyal. In those days, and even today in the Middle East, if you say that you're going to have salt with someone, or break bread and salt with someone, that means you're going to have hospitality with one another. And not only that, but you're going to have loyalty with one another and friendship, and you're going to be true. Okay, so that's one aspect of this term that Jesus is using. And the other is that they didn't have refrigerators then. They didn't have any way to preserve their food. So if an animal was killed for food, they had to instantly salt it. And the salt preserved it and purified it and kept it clean enough until it was able to be cooked and eaten. So to have salt within yourself is to preserve everything that is worth preserving. Not only to preserve it, but to protect it and to be loyal to that which is strong and pure and good and holy. He says, have salt within yourselves. And then naturally, what would follow is to have peace with one another. So then our task, once we start there, we know that, our task then is to figure out, well then, what do we have to know that's worth preserving about ourselves and in and through us and out in the world? And I have a kind of humorous video that might help us understand this a little bit. So knowing that Christ is within us and that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ ever, nothing that we can ever do, we start with that. Then when Jesus says, have salt within yourselves, know the truth about yourselves and protect it and nourish it, care for it, preserve it, and have peace with one another, then you live Christ-like. Yep. So then we can go back to the second part of the gospel, the one with all the threats, and see what in the world it's there for. In the way that Jesus was looking at things, he was really being tough with them. He was telling them, if anyone is trying to do the work of the Lord and you cause them to stumble like they were trying to do, they were saying, "What, this guy over here is doing the work of the Lord and we're not getting the credit, so why should he get all the glory?" Jesus says, no, 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 no. It's better for you to tie a rock around your neck and jump into the lake and be drowned than to do that. He's trying to get the point across. And in Middle Eastern terms, from their perspective, like we're talking about, if you know all the information, it was common for them to use, as we've talked about before, great exaggeration and hyperbole to make their point. To make their point. And then he goes further that not only if you block somebody else, beware, but if you yourself are doing things to cause you to stumble, if you use your hands for violence or cruelty or to disregard someone, cut it out, cut it off. It's like Father Marty was saying in the earlier service, you know, when we were young, our parents would say, cut it out. It's very much the same, only very strong and very powerful. If we walk in a way that we are not supposed to walk, that means to follow a path that we're not supposed to be, or we walk away from something that we are supposed to be tending to, and we're stumbling because of that, not following God, cut it out, cut them off. It's a figure of speech. Jesus is trying to be very stern with them. And if we do something with our eyes, maybe close them so that we're blinded to what we really are supposed to see, or we're doing things that we are not supposed to be doing and being involved with them in our vision, cut it out. And it's like gouging them out, he's saying, to get his point across. And this word hell in the translation in the Greek, in this terminology, the translation is Gehenna, And Gehenna was a portion of the city, outside the city, where they burned all the garbage. And the fire burned 24 hours a day, and it was unquenchable. There were always fires burning. And that's why he's saying it would be better for you to cut it out and throw than to throw yourself into the unquenchable fire. He got their attention, hopefully. Hopefully. For us, knowing that Christ lives with us and in us and through us, and knowing that and being dedicated to following Christ, then it becomes our job to try to figure out when we aren't doing those things, and we will make mistakes. We all do. And so, in closing, I'd like to share with you a little story that I think makes this point very well. There was a preacher in World War I who was stationed in Iraq, what was then called Persia, and he was invited to go and visit a factory where they made Persian rugs. And he went into the factory, and they had the big rug on a big rack, and the master weaver was in front of the rug, and he had designed the rug, and two boys who were his apprentices were behind the rug. And so the master would take the needle and put it through the rug pattern and put it through, and then the boys would be on the other side, and they were being taught how to take that needle and put it back through just the right way. And so, because they were learning, they didn't always do it correctly, and they made mistakes. And rather than start all over, what the master weaver would do would be to take their mistakes and weave them intricately into the pattern. And by his own admission, the rug turned out to be something much more magnificent than he had ever planned in the beginning. He was still the one doing the weaving, but he would bring the boys then around to the front and teach them a lesson, not just about weaving, but about life. That when bad things happen or when you make mistakes, you turn back to the pattern. You turn back to what we would say Christ. You turn back to the truth of who you are. It's the other way of saying repent, to turn back to, and God can turn it to good. God can turn it to good. So now we know then we can go out and have salt within ourselves and have peace with one another. May that be our goal. Amen.